Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, Dr. Bloom was answering a question concerning why Baptists baptize the way they do and why they rebaptize some people. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues answering that question today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
A lot of times people, especially in our society today, have a wrong attitude about marriage. And others have the same wrong attitude about baptism. Now, it is important to understand the meaning of the word. I want to check, first of all, the Greek meaning by men who were not Baptists. The classical Greek lexicon by Liddell and Scott was sponsored by and produced by the Church of England, of which Liddell and Scott were the authors and those that wrote it, and they produced it. The New Testament Greek was written by Thayer, who was a Congregationalist. The Lexicon of Theological Terms by Kramer, who is a Lutheran. All these non-Baptist scholars, who were evidently honest men, all agreed the word meant to dip, to immerse, submerge, or overwhelm. Dr. Thomas Conant went on to relate that a study of the use of the word throughout Greek history of literature states, in all, the word retained its grand meaning without change from the earliest age of Greek literature. Now understand, he was speaking of a period of about 2,000 years. Dr. Conant went on to say that there were not any examples found in which the word had any other meaning. In other words, it was always to immerse or dunk. As a matter of fact, the word that was used in secular Greek language of that day, or Greek literature of that day, would use that same word about a ship when it would sink in the ocean. And so they would say that it was baptizo, that it sunk, it dipped, it went all the way under, it was overwhelmed, it was immersed. I mean, think about it. Here's a wooden ship. A cannon is shot. It blows a big 10-foot hole on one side and a 20-foot hole out the other side of that wooden ship. Now, of course, that happens. That ship's going down. But do we say, boy, that big explosion just blew out both sides of the ship and the ship got sprinkled? Of course not. No, it went under. It got baptized. Okay, it was totally immersed. Now, let me go on a little bit further because I want to quote some guys that practice sprinkling instead of immersion. And this is what they had to say. Luther said, Mrs. Martin Luther, the term baptism is from a Greek word. It may be rendered as dipping, as when we dip something in water. As a matter of fact, same word was used for dyeing cloth. You don't sprinkle dye on the cloth. No, you immerse it completely in the water if you want that whole thing to change that to the entire color of that whatever you're dyeing. If you're dyeing something blue or black and you've got a white piece of cloth, you dip the entire cloth in the dye that may be entirely covered with the water and liquid dye. John Calvin said the word baptize signifies to immerse. And the rite of immersion was practiced by the early church. And this may shock some of our listeners some, but Brenner was a Roman Catholic scholar. He stated, for 1,300 years, baptism was generally and regularly an immersion of a person underwater, and only in extraordinary cases, a sprinkling or a pouring of water. And, of course, that was usually because somebody was sick. Now, baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo. It is transliterated, not translated, in our English Bibles. Now, people of all languages use a close facsimile of the Greek word in their own language. I say, well, of most languages, and that you might even say of most Western languages. Now, long before sprinkling or pouring became the norm, the word in its English form was always baptized. This transcended language in many places, so it would be understood. And mostly for the first half of the church age, people understood it as to immerse. Now, I've heard over the years, I was even taught this. The King James Version translators did not translate it immerse, but baptize, because they feared the king. Well, no, they didn't do it because they feared the king or anyone else. Rather, it was well understood to mean immerse. Now, there are people say that they just did it baptized because they didn't want to offend King James. Well, King James understood. He already understood it as immerse when they were translating that Bible, and they produced it in 1611. So that wasn't really an issue at all. It wasn't until A.D. 1311 that the Roman Catholic Church at the Council of Ravenna made sprinkling or immersion as allowable modes of baptism. Now, there are early records of sprinkling in about A.D. 250, showing that it was used on some sick people that they thought it would kill them, to remove them from their home and their bed and dip them underwater. And so they sprinkled them. But that was not normal. That was the exception. There was also in that day a problem with infant baptism, because at times the baby would drown as a result of the baptism. Now, in A.D. 1644, now understand, this is 33 years after King James Version was published in 1611. So 33 years later, the Church of England adopted sprinkling as their official mode by a vote of Parliament. You say a vote of Parliament? Oh, yeah. You see, the Church of England, that was a state church, and so Parliament would vote on things such as this, and the vote was 25 to 24. In other words, they changed from immersion to sprinkling by one vote. 25 to 24, and that was Parliament making the vote. So this tells us that when Baptists were persecuted and killed for baptizing, it was not for the mode, because most of them still practiced baptism by immersion in that period. Now, in our Sunday school at our church, we shared with the people how at the Diet of Speyer in 1529, the Catholic Church proclaimed they would tolerate Lutherans, but with Lutheran consent, exclude Baptists from toleration. It was made obligatory upon all to destroy Baptists. This act made it that if you are a male or female of intelligent age, to be judged and brought from natural life to death without having to come before a court of law. And it was dutifully carried out. You say, what does that mean? It simply means this, that if there are people that came upon a baptism out in a river somewhere, or lake, they could end those people's life right there without having to even take them into court, give them a trial or anything like that. They could just kill them right there on the spot. Now, Melanchthon, a Lutheran that was a good assistant to Martin Luther, he protested that, and he said that we, again, seems like we're carrying on the Inquisition with the Catholic Church against another people, and it couldn't be just. So, all that say that the word means to immerse. In the New Testament, the person baptized was completely immersed or submerged in water. That was always the mode and through most of the first half of the church age. But let us next consider the biblical history. Now, I want us to consider the founder of the local church. The founder of the local church is the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that he says in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." Now here's a good example. That word suffered meant allowed. Now suffered has a different meaning today, but allow is what it meant in this context and in that time that this was translated. But the word baptized, everybody understood it to be immersed when it was translated in 1611. In verse 16 it says, "And Jesus, when he had baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Now let me just insert something here. It said like a dove. Didn't say the Holy Spirit was a dove. Didn't even say he looked like a dove. Just said he descended like a dove would descend and lighted upon the Lord Jesus. And so, don't look out your window and say, I saw a dove today. I saw the Holy Spirit of God. That is not really right. All you saw was a dove, but you did not see the Holy Spirit of God. Now, verse 17, continuing there then, he says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So now you have Jesus there at this baptism, being baptized, the Holy Spirit coming upon him, and the Father speaking. Wow, you know, that tells me that had to be very, very important. And John, now think of him, he realized that Jesus had not sinned. He, John, in the same chapter, Matthew 3, verse 11, was calling his a baptism of repentance. Jesus needed no repentance. Jesus, as an example to us, fulfilled all righteousness. And by this, he placed his approval and command upon this ordinance as the founder of the local church. Now understand, baptism does not save anyone's soul. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.